Welcome to The Challenge, where we'll discuss the challenges that life gives us. Challenges from the perspective of people with disabilities, and challenges from those who encounter a disabled person in any walk of life. If you have comments about the show or would like to be a guest, call a listener feedback line at 206-333-0257. That's 206-333-0257. Or send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. And now your host, Steve Bauer.
Welcome into program number 10. I'm Steve Bauer. My guest this week is a guy that has a lot of energy. His name is Ellis Hall. Now, Ellis has been featured as lead vocalist on a debut hit single called What Does It Take? And this is from Kenny G's multi-platinum Duotones album. He also joined the group Tower of Power as lead vocalist and keyboardist and did production and songwriting work on their album called Power. He has had enormous success as one of the California Raisins with a platinum album called The California Raisins Sing the Hit Songs, and also a gold album, Christmas with the California Raisins. Ellis Hall has lent his vocal skills or performed with such diverse artists as James Taylor, Warren Hill, George Duke, Huey Lewis in the News, Bo Diddley, Freddie Hubbard, and Bobby Womack, just to mention some. His contemporary work includes jingles, film works, and live performances. His latest CD is called The Spirit Lingers On and On, and we're hearing the title track in the background. Everything is said and done. I'd like to welcome you into The Challenge.
Well, I'm sure glad to be in Stevie B's world. That's what I'm talking about. No, seriously, Steve, thanks for letting me come and visit with you for a while, long distance even.
First of all, so everybody knows where we're coming from, Tell me about Ellis Hall, where you were educated, your visual situation, you know, the whole bit.
All right. Where do I start? I was born in Savannah, Georgia. The first 5 years I lived in actually a little town called Claxton, right next to a place called Manassas, which was so small, one side of the science is entering, the other side of the science is leaving. But enough of that. Anyway, I moved up to school, to Boston, because a year old, they realized I had congenital glaucoma. They figured I might have it anyway because they didn't put the silver nitrate in my eyes when I was born. So they said even though I had vision, I was going to probably lose it. So they sent me to the great school of Perkins School for the Blind, shameless plug. And when I went there, they taught me Braille and all sorts of madness. They even taught me piano, but I wasn't really interested in the musical side of things until I snuck into a club when I was 14. And with my one good eye, which was my left, I saw the looks on the faces of the band as they were whipping the audience into a frenzy. And then they were trying to teach me Bach, but I was busy playing that rock and roll. Caught a lot of heck for that one. But I learned how to play bass, taught myself to play drums and guitar, and the rest, they say, is history.
All right, so today, what is your visual level?
Well, my visual level is having lost my sight at 18 in a freak wrestling accident. So I have my right eye, which is not very good at all. I have no vision, but I remember the beautiful things I did see, like pretty ladies and sunsets.
Schooling, did you, after you got out of Perkins, did you go on to college, or did you?
Just 1 year of Berklee School of Music in Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And, it turns out there's whisperings of them actually possibly giving me an honorary degree, which I'd be very, very excited about. But I left Berklee and went on the road and traveled with a lot of different bands until I formed my own band called the Ellis Hall Group, and we opened up for many, 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 many folks like Earth, Wind, and Fire, Hancock, The Spinners, The Temptations. Oh, my God, a plethora of folks. How about that for a word?
A bunch of people we never even heard of.
It was very, very exciting to do all those different things, and to go out and get my serious street musical education.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it was just fabulous. So, and even got to play for Rose and Jackie Kennedy. That was a thrill.
Wow, where did you do that?
At the Kennedy compound in Hyannisport.
So the security folks let you in.
I know. Man, it's a scary... Well, same thing with the Clinton organization. He happened to see me in 1992 at this function, and he said, "Who is that kid?" And needless to say, they ended up taking myself and the band to the first inaugural ball. They called it the Western Ball, and that was a blast. So, yeah, they let me in a few truthful places.
There you go. So how old are you now?
56. Proud of it.
So,
you're still a young man. It's the star of power.
Yeah, that's right.
But speaking of, I did get to tour with them. I was their lead vocalist and keyboardist, featured on the album called Power. And that was a blast. In fact, you know, well, I'm convinced that we're kind of outsmarting ourselves with all this technology, but there's a thing called YouTube, and there are so many things up there, visually and audio, that feature yours truly. It's a blast. And what my manager says, he says, "You've sold millions of records for others, like the California Raisins and with Kenny G and stuff. Now it's time for people to know who you are. They know your voice. They need to know your face." So,
for me, though, I only have a face for radio.
Oh, come on. To see that voice behind the face, or see the face behind the voice, rather. Yeah, you know, hey.
All right, so if you were to describe Ellis Hall's music, how would you describe the music that you play?
Highly infectious, joyful soul with a huge chunk of funk. How about that?
Whoa.
And that's my story, and I'm singing to it.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir. Now, any time that folks come to my musical concerts, some may try to be stuffy, but when I'm on that stage, the monster comes out, and you belong to me.
So tell me about touring as a blind musician. What is that like?
It's pretty intense. Up until I joined Tower of Power, I used to go out just myself, you know, with my band and stuff. But because it got so crazy, and we would do almost 200 dates out of the year, I finally decided to have an assistant. Because especially traveling in Europe, and I'm trying to go out with my cane, and I don't speak no French, or I don't speak Spanish, or whatever, it was a tough road to hoe. And why people think you have to yell, one, at a blind person, but they automatically yell if you're speaking to an Italian person, "You speak no ink." What? What are you yelling for? It's the funniest thing just to watch that happen. They think just because they raise the voice, they're going to understand you more. But I decided to travel with an assistant, so I do all the time now. I take a couple of different gentlemen out with me.
Then they make sure your hair is perfect.
No, actually, my wife, Karen, who recently passed, she was a serious fashion guru. But I will get what's called a stylist, and they'll go out with me. And that'll either be a male or female who just makes sure, in that sighted world, you got to look the part. You know?
Absolutely.
And ironically, my first wife, because I was married three times, my first wife was blind, and we had four kids together. I only had my kids with her. And we had two at home. And two in the hospital. And, you know, we'd always tease about it. Talk about the blind leading the blind. We're trying to go someplace, and I'm leading her. What happened to Canes? She's a sweetie, but it was very wild indeed. And yet, the last child, the doctor didn't make it in time, so I had to help catching the baby. Yeah, she wasn't waiting.
Wow, we call you Dr. Hall.
That's what they were calling me for a long time. Wendy Sue, my youngest daughter, was not waiting. And she's a singer, and my youngest boy is a singer as well. So it's a family affair, as Sly says.
Have you done much recording with your kids?
Over the years, quite a bit. Not lately, though, because lately I've been just working on what I call the definitive deal. Because mostly I've been behind the scenes. I've done a lot of movies. For instance, I was in the movie Big Mama's House. I was in the movie Chicken Run, where the chickens and dancing, I'm singing. So I tell folks I've done everything from being a teenage nut to a California raisin to a singing rooster to a singing spider, a singing toucan, some Sesame Street characters like a bear, Fozzie Bear's uncle. An illustrious thing, but just behind the scenes and producing some things, so finally figuring to come out into the front and say, here I am, and make the millions for myself and for my kids and my grandkids.
You mentioned you're using a cane. Have you ever used a guide dog?
No. I always figured the places I go and some of the concerts, I'd probably make a guide dog neurotic. And I'm crazy enough as is. Not that I have anything against them. But, Len, I haven't had to use my cane a whole lot since I do have an assistant here and there.
Yeah, I know some people always disagree with the fact that one should use a sighted guide when possible. Man, I take the help whenever I can.
I'm telling you, bro. Believe me, it's amazing. And you know what? What's really funny is when I was growing up in Boston, I'd go into town like Boston and Tremont Street or whatever, hanging out, walking around, and I'd ask some directions, and my white cane would be in plain sight, and it never failed. These guys would say, well, mister, you see that orange sign down there? And you're what? Oh, sure, I do, absolutely. Thank you. Have a great day. But, no, anytime you can get the help, why not take it? And my wife, last wife, Karen, beautiful Norwegian blonde woman, and she always teased me about saying, you know, it's the blonde leading the blind this time.
You're listening to The Challenge. To receive email updates about the show and our guests, you're invited to join our mailing list. Simply send a blank message to challenge 8255-subscribe at googlegroups.com. That's challenge 8255-subscribe at googlegroups.com. Once again, your host, Steve Bauer.
My guest this week is entertainer extraordinaire Ellis Hall. And this is a song called Why Should I Care from his latest CD called The Spirit Lingers On and On.
Jonestown Bay, I know you're so far away. Why should I care what's going on with you today? I've heard somewhere in a dream the world won't come together through indecencies. Life won't pass unaware when we choose simply not to care. The trials of this world we all share.
Well, when it comes to, you know, out there and touring and things, when you're on stage, what do you use to get a perception of what the audience is like and how, and in addition to applause, how are they reacting to your music?
Well, the first thing I'll do usually when I come out on stage is I'll start to play some chords, and I might either do a talking greeting or a singing greeting. And a lot of people don't know I don't see, but if they realize I do, I make them feel comfortable with it. You know, I poke fun at myself and have fun with it. And then also, in fact, there's a funny story about people not being able to tell I can't see. This lady one time at this club dancing, or I was making them dance, and this lady was dancing in front of me, and the guys were dying because she was doing a striptease act in front of me. And the guys were saying, it's being wasted on him. And my wife was dying in the audience saying, look at that. But I just gauge, and I also, by the songs I play, by the applause and by the feeling, I get a lot of people call and response. And I can tell that I'm reaching them.
If you had the chance to perform with anybody who you have never performed with before, either living or deceased, mm-hmm. who might that be?
Oh, man. I would have loved to perform with Sam Cooke would have loved to perform with, oh my God, like a Jackie Wilson. Or I would have, talk about this being eclectic, would have loved to have done a duet with Karen Carpenter, because I was such a huge fan. And living, I'd love to do a duet with Alison Krauss. I love her voice. I want to do duets with somebody like Alicia Keys. I like her talent, very talented lady. There's many people. I want to do a record duet with Michael McDonald. I've sung with him live. But, and Stevie and I are talking about doing something together, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. That would make an interesting pair.
It would.
Yeah. So tell me about your most recent album. I know you probably have several out, but let's talk about them.
No, actually, I don't have that many, but I am working on one that I started working on with Ray. We were co-producing it together when he got sick. And I'm going to take some of the things, some of the tracks from that record and put some new ones and put it out there. And I'm doing a lot of symphony dates, a lot of dates coming up. So it'll be up on my website, ellishall.com. But I'll call you and you can spread the word too.
Okay, when you do a symphony thing,
mm-hmm.
What does that really mean?
Symphony dates, meaning I do a salute to Ray, Ray's music, with a touch of myself. And we use the symphony orchestras, just like Ray. Ray did a lot of symphony dates.
Right.
And in 2005, I did the Hollywood Bowl. And then in 2006, I did the Nashville Symphony with Bobby Caldwell. And that was why we had 3 sold-out shows for that show.
Wow, so basically you do in your current shows, you're doing the music of Ray Charles with
mm-hmm.
the symphony backing you then.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I bet that sounds so cool.
Oh, brother, trust me when I tell you, it is a soul experience. My daughter, who's 29, always tells me that, Dad, there's no demographic with you. I've seen 5-year-old kids to 80-year-old ladies to 90-year-old men just get crazy and start dancing around. They can't stand not grooving to the beat. All right.
One question that I have been asked before,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people are surprised at my answer. And the question is, if you could have an operation performed to get your eyesight back,
mm-hmm.
would you? Go ahead and give me your answer, then I'll tell you what my response is.
I think, judging from the technology and stuff, I might take a chance. But not because, I particularly am worried about ever seeing again, but it'd be nice to see and compare the colors that I've seen to the vivid colors and how much they might have changed. And the different things, what I've seen, probably no sight could ever tell me the beauty I see in my mind's eye.
I think we feel a lot the same as far as the colors go, because there's a lot of new colors now that I can only imagine what they're like.
Right.
But my answer is different than yours. My answer is no. But what I want would be ear transplants. Because as we all age, our hearing begins to go. I've learned how to be a blind guy.
How about that?
Now, you're on stage a lot. You're obviously around a lot of high-volume stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to protect and save your hearing?
First of all, I don't have a lot of things coming at me, meaning my monitors are never that loud. And I've been on stages where the monitors were so loud, and essentially a lot of wax builds up in my ear anyway. And I wear earplugs if I had to. But I haven't had to because I don't surround myself. And I don't stay in a room where the thing is that loud. Not usually. I don't have to. If I don't have to be there. And usually when I go to the concerts or whatever, they have a green room where I can hang. Which, by the way, is usually never green.
How did they come up with green as the...
I have no idea. That'd be a good trivia question.
Google, where are you?
I'm telling you. The fact of, that's an interesting thing because, the ear implants, they've come a long way, and the eye implants are getting ready to make quite leaps and bounds. And I've talked with Stevie, and I talked with Ray. Ray, having seen up until he was 7, but Stevie never has seen. You cannot describe a color to someone who's never seen. It's an amazing thing to try, and I talked with my first wife about it because she was a preemie. And in the oxygen tent, they had the oxygen too high, so that's what took her sight.
And they've done that. Recently, Sadly enough, though, your wife did pass away.
Yes, Karen.
Mm-hmm. That obviously presented you some real challenges. Now, I'm sure your kids were around to help. But.
Yeah, my daughter Wendy Sue has been doing my clerical work because Karen helped run that corporation. And, you know, it was brain cancer she was diagnosed with in October, and then she left this world in December. So it was so quick. And what is it? John Lennon says, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Boy, that isn't a true quote. You know, all you can do is keep walking. And it doesn't mean you're not going to cry the tears. But I celebrate the 16 years. I know it's all borrowed time for us. And 16 years of catching the wind of love with that lady. And I shall pass it on. That's what I do. And it'll come out in hopefully some wonderful songs about her. And some songs with angst that show still there's hope. When there's life, there's hope. And then when you go to the other side, hopefully you get a chance to repeat it again as far as really raising your own consciousness or raising the world's consciousness. How about that? Is that deep?
Wow.
All I can say is, So there.
Well, man, we do appreciate you taking the time
to come
on with us and share your story and your positive attitude toward life and everything that it throws at us.
Yeah, well, amen. I look forward to meeting you in person. You know, we get these long-distance things going. And I always tell folks, like my daughter answers the emails for me and stuff, but I'm a person who talks. And if they want to find me, I give them a number and stuff and say, hey, talk to me. Or I'll call them because, you know, a lot of times there's no human contact with the computers. You know, you got the email and BlackBerry, and don't even go there with text messaging. Oh, don't do it. Oh, man.
So I take it you're not much of a computer user at all?
Not too much, although I know enough about it probably to be dangerous. I am going to get what's called a Mac Pro 2 as soon as I can go to the candy store. And I will, you know, I play the NAMM show a lot, which has all these great instruments. And I'm also doing the Consumer Electronics Show next year, it looks like. And I can go and check out all the things, the new toys that we want to buy, that my wife would say, no, honey, we can't get that yet. But, you know, it's like I have the desire to learn the Mac Pro because it has some great musical things to work with. And I don't know if I'll ever get really used to the email stuff. I mean, I guess, as I said, I know enough about it, but I don't have to email something that much. I can get someone to help run the business, and luckily Wendy is helping me out right now.
Play, yeah.
down on my knees. Honey, you're not coming back tonight.
Recently, I ran across this item from USA Today. In fact, it was on April the 2nd, but I thought it was worth saving because I just found it really interesting. Age of corneas does not affect transplant. Older corneas seem to transplant as well as younger ones, a finding that promises to expand the age of cornea donation to 75 years of age. In the government-funded study, researchers randomly assigned cornea recipients to get either younger or older tissue and found that the corneas of both groups survived just as well 5 years later. The cornea is the clear covering of the front of the eye that helps it focus light. More than 39,000 corneal transplants were performed last year, the iBank Association of America says. Enough corneas have been available for those seeking transplants in the U.S., but specialists express concern about international shortages and domestic availability as a result of tougher Food and Drug Administration donor safety rules, which began last summer. The study appeared on the April 1st edition of the Journal of Ophthalmology. Now, I really think this is exciting because corneal transplants have restored vision to countless numbers of people. Now, personally, I only know one man who has had a corneal transplant, and it has worked very well for him. So some good news there for people needing corneal transplants. Have you had a corneal transplant? Do you know someone who has? Well, if you'd like to, share the story with us by either sending an email to challenge8255@gmail.com, or you can call our comment line at 1-206-333-0257. That's 1-206-333-0257. My guest next week on the show will be Sanford Alexander, and he works with blinded veterans. And we'll talk about the challenges that he faces in his job in assisting veterans in dealing with the loss of vision. Sanford Alexander, our guest next week here on The Challenge.
If you have comments about the show or would like to be a guest, call a listener feedback line at 206-333-0257. That's 206-333-0257. Or send email to challenge8255@gmail.com. To receive email alerts about the show each week, including information about our guests, send a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. That's a blank message to challenge8255-subscribe@googlegroups.com. Thanks for listening, and stay strong when encountering the challenges of life. Please join us next week at this same time for another edition of The Challenge from ACB Radio Mainstream.